We are live. Welcome to the RG DFS Tournament Takes podcast presented by Yahoo. I am your host, Chris Kirkwood, screen name Kirk D's. I am here with my co-host, owner of Occupy Fantasy, Brian Jester. This is the guy that we brought you on this season who crushes NFL, won a million in the Super Bowl Millie Maker, which I like to say was the worst lineup I've ever seen, was second in the NFL FanDuel Live Final, crushed preseason again. We both had a rough week last week for NFL, but how's it going, Brian?
Yeah, what's up, dude? I'm ready to get back on the horse this week. You and I both talked about before the show how down last week was, but I feel like as long as we can know what the field is going to do every single week, and I think you and I both have a really good idea of that, then we're in for a successful season.
Yeah, so we'll just say, I smashed week one, so I felt really good and I felt really confident. And then I thought I would made the sharpest lineup. I've spent a lot of time last week, and there were two key decisions, and that this is for my main one. The decision number one was I wanted to fade Najee Harris because I just didn't think I still think that Ben wants to do nothing but pass. And I think their offensive line is a mess and that I just don't think he's going to be very efficient. So I thought that was a good spot. And it was looking like a great spot until that stupid touchdown catch that he got. What I did is I played Mixon instead of him. And Mixon was bad. I mean, their offense was just pathetic. The main decision, I was like, Cooper Kupp is going to be so chalky. I liked them. We both talked about how we liked them on the show, and the Colts, you can attack them through the middle. So it made a lot of sense, but I just didn't think that he had the same type of ceiling as a Keenan Allen had. And I knew nobody was going to play Keenan Allen because he was $29. And so I finagled a way to get up to Keenan. I played Amari and I could have played Cooper Kupp, but I played Amari and CeeDee Lamb. So I basically had the wide receiver stack and I felt really good about that, but that game just didn't go off and I was drawing dead, from Cooper. It was just so tilting with Cooper Kupp, but feel my pain there.
Oh man. I mean, he just naturally had to score 40 points, right? Is the most popular receiver. It just had to happen. So, but again, you knew that he would be popular. You knew that Keenan would be not as popular. And again, if those guys have those ceiling games, it's going to be a rough week. But the way you and I have been on the same page through the first 2 weeks lets me know that we'll probably have similar results each week of the season. But I'm curious to see what you like this week and curious to see if we can turn it around.
Yeah, and I don't like a lot this week, which is kind of funny. So it feels a lot grosser. I mean, there's not – at least at the running back position, there's not any must plays this week, it feels like. So let me just knock out a couple of Yahoo, some talk about Yahoo this year. If you're not playing on Yahoo, you're making a mistake. If you're listening to this podcast, you probably know it's focused on Yahoo. I play a ton on Yahoo. Brian's got his bankroll challenge on Yahoo. They've made a lot of great changes this season. They have now single game slates on Monday, Thursday, and Sunday. Shout out to me for having a CSV error last night and getting stuck with 150 Christian McCaffrey captain lineups and just drawing dead. They're also doing a live final this year. They do low rake. There's always overlay. This is the place to play. I've been screaming it for years. When I started focusing over there, this is the place that you should be playing. They have their $1 million baller. It's still going. It's now up to a $20 entry. It's only got seven, as we're doing this Friday afternoon, it's only got 7.4K entries of 50,000 entries in there, but it's all about the payout structure with this. It's 100,000 to first, 50,000 to second, 25 to third. There's going to be overlay. I had a couple of lineups that went deep, but couldn't get over the hump because I had Derrick Henry, which was, that's what you needed last week. And a couple of them got up there, but it had Amari Cooper and Higbee. I had both of those guys in my best lineup, which still made some good money, but what could have been if they just had normal median outcomes. But all right, this week we've got, again, just like last week, we got five games with 50 point totals or higher. the games that I'm kind of focusing on are the ones that I think will be faster paced. I mean, the Chargers Chiefs sounds nice, right? Arizona Jags, you know, blowout concerns for sure, but it should be a lot of points. It should play fast. We've got the Tampa Bay and Tom Brady, and that they look unbelievable playing the Rams with a 55.5 point total. Then, you know, Seattle and the Vikings has a 55 point total. And then we've got a couple of games that I think might be kind of sneaky. It might be a good bounce back spot for Josh Allen and the Bills against Washington. You know, both of those teams play a lot of no huddles, so maybe there'll be a lot of plays in there. And then the Giants Falcons seems like it could be great. It could be completely tilting because these offense could be bad, right? Like you see that both ways, right?
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't shock anyone if they scored 60 or 24, right? Like the very, very wide range of outcomes for those two offenses. But yeah, I think the high total games that you mentioned are the ones that I'm most interested in, especially Tampa Bay and the Rams. What are the other ones here? Yeah, the ones you named specifically, Seattle, Minnesota, Arizona, and Jacksonville, and obviously the Chargers and Kansas City. And a couple of these games have some specific Yahoo values too, which makes them extra appealing.
Also, I forgot to mention, if you haven't signed up for Yahoo yet, use promo code GRINDERS25 for a free $25 bonus on your first deposit. Once again, that's promo code GRINDERS25 for a free $25 bonus on your first deposit. You'll get access to the No Veteran contests, which are really a good thing to have. So come play with us over there. But yeah, so an interesting thing for you. So I was looking at PFF passing grades so far this season. Can you guess who number one is?
Number one overall passing grade. This is on defense, right?
No, for the quarterback play.
Oh, number one overall. Is it Kyler?
No, it's Tom Brady.
Oh, go figure.
Which makes a lot of sense. But and if who would number two be? You'd probably guess Kyler there, right? Since I didn't.
Yeah, since I guessed him, but I guess number two would be Stafford.
Well, it's Daniel Jones. Unbelievably, wow. So far. This is small sample, right? We can manipulate things the best way we want to. Mm-hmm. But that leads us into talking about quarterbacks. So we're going to go like we did last week. We're going to do quarterbacks first, best values, and then kind of who our main lineup preferreds, maybe talk about some deep tournament darts. We're going to do that across each of the positions until we close it out with a tight end and then give maybe a couple of stack ideas. But as I mentioned, Daniel Jones comes in at $25, and I had him written down first for the best Yahoo value. That's kind of because the criteria for, you know, I want someone cheaper. I'm not saying he's the best play. I'm not saying he's going to be in my main lineup, but I'm definitely going to have tournament exposure to him. He could even make my main lineup. The thing I like about him is that, you know, it's just what I say every week. It's about, you want a QB with rushing upside, right? He's rushed for 122 yards plus two touchdowns. Plus, he's passing well, if you believe his PFF passing grade. Atlanta defense has given up the most passing TDs so far. So this is a game that, you know, if things break right, this, you know, has two pretty bad defenses. Teams that do have a bunch of offensive weapons, they are priced kind of nicely. So I do like this game environment. Were you giving any consideration to Daniel Jones?
Yep, I have Daniel Jones and Justin Fields written down as the best Yahoo values. And as we've talked about through the first 2 weeks, you really want a quarterback with rushing upside, especially in your main lineups, your low-risk lineups, your small field lineups. So I had Daniel Jones. He's at $25, and Fields getting the start this week, he's $23. Fields had 10 of the team's 26 carries last week. He's going to scramble a ton, so that gives him a super high floor. And I think that's probably the way to go this week, because there are a bunch of high-priced quarterbacks with high ceilings, Lamar at the very top. But, you know, if we're playing this lineup and the typical construction that we've talked about so far, where you play a cheaper rushing quarterback that allows you to fit in everywhere else, I think, Chris, those are the first two guys to look at.
Yep. I mean, and he was getting rushes anyway. And, you know, that's the thing he's going to do, is he's going to run, right? And he's going to run for his life, probably, in this game against the Browns with their pass rush. But, you know, that's good. I mean, we've seen it time to time with Kyler, you know, when he's back there and the pressure comes on, he does a nice juke and he gets out and he racks up at least like 10 yards on the, you know, and that just happens all game and it accumulates. So I do. Plus, you know, Tyrod Taylor was carving this defense up too. So, you know, there is potential upside. He also threw what should have been a touchdown pass to Allen Robinson, who made a drop uncharacteristically of him. So that, you know, people would be feeling a lot better. But so maybe he gets overlooked a little bit. I had him written down number two, too. So we're kind of on the same page there. Those are the only two kind of the cheaper priced QBs that I really have interest in. I'll play some others because that's just the nature of the game. But I mean, again, we were talking about kind of some of the low end guys last week. Like this week, it's Jacoby Brissett for the dirt cheap at 20. Yep. You know, now with the new gig here playing the Raiders, so I guess I just don't see much upside there. But Baker Mayfield maybe, but against Chicago, I don't see. Maybe they're an overrated defense, but they're a pretty good defense. So I just don't know how much upside, especially when they should just give the ball to Nick Chubb and let him do his thing. So I can't really find any. Maybe Matt Ryan, right? I don't want to play this guy. There's no rushing upside, but maybe, you know, in some tournament stacks, you know, I'm sure I'll get some of him.
Right. I mean, those are the guys tournaments exclusively, right? Because in order for them to hit value, even for your smaller contests, right, they have to throw multiple touchdowns. Whereas guys like Fields and Daniel Jones, we know they could throw zero or one touchdown and we can still be okay with our lineups just because of what they bring with their legs. So it's kind of tricky to play, you know, guys like Mayfield and Ryan and Brissett down there at the bottom when if you're going to play a pure passing quarterback, you might as well go with the higher total. The top quarterbacks with, you know, 55 point game totals and huge ceilings.
Yep. And that leads us to kind of our, of these guys are not, these are the guys that I have the most interest in. I wouldn't call them the best values, but these are the guys that are going to be in my pool for sure. These are the guys that it's going to be Kyler Murray at $39. I don't care if he's super expensive. It's like, we know the upside we can get. He's a cheat code. He ranks second in passing yards plus TD passes with 689 passing yards so far. He's rushed for two TDs. We know the rushing upside, you know, we get there. So for sure, what's interesting, we were talking about just the blip on the injury report we were overreading earlier, and it, you know, it just said that he DeAndre Hopkins is going to be a game day decision. But like you made a good point they've probably said this for the last 3 years now.
Yeah, dude. And he's always questionable, right? Like he's always questionable, rarely practices, and he goes out and performs. So I unless we see something that says otherwise, I'm not too concerned about D-Hop playing.
But it does say he's missed all 3 days of practice this week, so that's never a great sign. His week three status appears to be a genuine doubt. You know, that would just make the stack much cheaper for sure, right? Like we would go to Rondell, who's leading the team in targets now after his monster week last week. But Christian Kirk would get a bump, and then we could talk about AJ Green, who did hit pay dirt last week. I mean, that would just make the stacks so cheap, and you could even use Chase Edmonds with the running back kind of passing work that he gets. So he's there. Josh Allen bounced back, right? Like this is the guy that everybody wanted for season long. This is the guy who's disappointed the first 2 weeks. This should be a faster paced game. The total is not so high, but both of these teams do a lot of no huddle, which is something I'm always looking for. So, you know, he has underperformed, but he did play a tough Pitt defense, right? And then last week was a complete blowout against Miami, who had absolutely no chance of even scoring on this team. So we haven't seen the right game environment yet for him either. It's coming. They pass a ton. You get the rushing upside with him. I don't have anything really bad to say at all. You know, we know the weapons with Diggs. You know, Emmanuel Sanders, I guess, is kind of that Gabriel Davis role John Brown this role this season. He's kind of more of an outlier, a sneakier tournament play, but Josh Allen at Diggs or even naked Josh Allen is just fine with me, but he's there. And then we got Mahomes. It's like, duh, it took me this long to mention Patrick Mahomes, right?
Yeah. I mean, those three guys, I think, stand out. The one thing I'm concerned about with Allen is you know, his scouting report and coming out of college in his first year or two in the league was his inaccuracy, right? And if you look at his accuracy on deep balls this year, obviously it's a very small sample, but he's one of the worst in the league at throwing 15 or more yards down the field. And again, it's only 2 weeks, but if that reverts back to how he looked pre-2020, then his fantasy outlook is definitely a lot lower than what you said. People were drafting him as the number two overall quarterback in season-long league. So I'm a little concerned there, but you know, guys like Kyler, guys like Mahomes, and then Brady and Stafford in that high total game are appealing to me too.
I mean, I touted Josh Allen every single week last week. He's always been my favorite. I think he's fine. I think it's just the offense just hasn't clicked yet, and it hasn't been the right type of game. So I'll stay on board with them. And then the main lineup preferred, I'm sure we both have, is the same guy, Lamar Jackson, 35 bucks, right? He's currently third leading rusher in the league behind Derrick Henry and I think Joe Mixon for yardage. He ran for 107 yards plus got two touchdowns, passed for 239 plus a touchdown. Lions down their top corner, plus his replacement. Lions is a defense where we want to pick on anyway. Detroit, just for this small sample so far, they are 32nd DVOA overall, so dead last, and 31st versus the pass, 32nd versus the run. So this is in actually Lamar has a history of usually doing well in games where they win, right? Like that's where that he just runs. Although, so it should be a good game script for him as well as a nice favorite here. So he's the clear main lineup guy, right? And I don't think I can be budged off of him.
So yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. So for me, the decision is whether you play Lamar or you drop down to guys like Daniel Jones and Justin Fields. So for you, it's not even a question, right? You're in your main lineup, you're playing Lamar, you're not even considering the other two values.
I think Daniel Jones would be the one guy I could consider, but it's like you're playing with fire, right? Like we're putting gasoline on the fire with Lamar. With Daniel Jones, we're playing with fire. You know, it's like, it's I don't know, it depends. It's so it'll I'll have to see lineup builds, but I just don't see myself getting off Lamar, at least as of right now.
Okay.
Any other guys you have your eye on for deep?
I think maybe Trevor Lawrence, if that game does shoot out as we expect and Arizona plays at the faster pace, then Trevor Lawrence, I think it's a little interesting because he's throwing deep balls at a rate higher than anyone else in the entire league. And he's got some cheap stacking options with Marvin Jones and DJ Chark and LaVisca. So I think if you're playing a bunch of lineups and you're playing game stacks, Trevor Lawrence definitely makes a ton of sense to me. But if it's not him, then it's definitely those other top tier guys that we mentioned.
Yeah, I guess the one other guy that I should mention here, I mean, it's the highest total of the week, Justin Herbert. Disappointed last week, but certainly he does have a good record against the Chiefs. Not that that really matters, but I mean, this game just has shootout potential. So I think he would be the other guy. And then for like a deep guy, I can't really. I mean, you gotta play some Russ. Talk to me about Kirk Cousins at all.
I'm on board, dude. I'm on board. Yeah. I'm on board this week. Again, high total game. And what could be interesting is, as we'll talk about in the running back section, Dalvin Cook hasn't practiced all week. And the fact that he was dealing with the high ankle sprain, which is a death sentence for running backs, sounds like he won't play. If that's the case, they could pass a little more. I imagine they could lean on Madison, but just given the coaching comments, I think they could lean a little more pass heavy this game. And if that's the case, Cousins to Jefferson, Cousins to Thielen, it obviously has huge tournament upside.
Yep. Like it. All right. Let's move it on over to wide receivers, compare with our QBs. All right. We're same format, best Yahoo value. I circled number one and I don't know how I feel about it, but I think I have to. I got Mike Williams at 18 bucks. He's leads the Chargers with 22 targets. Keenan let me down last week, but you know, we know he has a massive red zone role, Mike Williams, at least from the first. Someone's texting. me here. It's coming through. So
no worries. I can handle what you said because
but, they talked about all
18 bucks.
Yeah, is the rule change. Right? Yep. Yep.
So
can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. We're good.
Okay. So, but yeah, Mike Williams, 18 bucks, and his role has changed a bit. He's not being targeted as much downfield as he was in recent years. And that gives him a little bit of a higher floor. And I agree, like you, he was one of the first guys I circled, as well as Chris Godwin at 22 bucks, especially with Antonio Brown being ruled out.
Yep. So, I mean, the role change is what really matters. He's got a high percentage of routes now, the high percentage routes that he's running, right? Instead of just that, he was that one trick pony for the deep balls last season. The OC, Lombardi, you know, talked about how they were going to make him the X receiver like Michael Thomas, and it's what it looks like. So I think you have to play him. He's cheap. It's great game environment. I love the big body for the end zone, red zone role. So he's there. Now, the second guy I had written down, and this is, I'm not sure about this. So I wrote down Chris Godwin, right? Because Antonio Brown's out, should be out. And this is another good game. He leads the Bucs in targets, catches, plus yards. The thing that worries me is I don't know what they're going to do with Ramsey. Are they going to put Ramsey on Evans? Are they going to use him more in the slot like they've been doing this season, which would then, you know, he would probably match up more on Godwin? Evans is the same price, so I feel a little uneasy about like picking between Godwin or Evans, but I know I do want pieces of this game. So it's more of an interesting decision if like for my main lineup. I mean, for max entry, I'm going to have pieces of both of these guys, but for like my main lineup, I might very well have Chris Godwin in there, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts with him.
Yeah. I mean, I had him circle as the best value too, right? If you just look at any projection system and you sort by projected points at receiver, Godwin's price stands out where everyone else in the top 10 of projected points at the position this week is, you know, $29 or higher for the most part. So from that, again, if we're looking at pure Yahoo values, that's where Godwin stands out, right? Other sites, he's not as pure of a value. So for me, if we're playing main lineups and we're looking at the best Yahoo plays, I'm not as concerned with things like Jalen Ramsey or whatever it may be, just from a pure value perspective, he's the guy. So him adding him and Mike Williams together, this is a $40 pairing that opens up a ton for the rest of your lineup.
Yep. I'm just worried if I'm going to have like all my action, you know, on one, like most of my action on one main line, it's like, it could be Mike Evans, like over Godwin, that would really tilt me and ruin my day. So that's what I'm just trying to avoid ruining my day after last week. All right. Next value I got, this is a cheapie. I got Mecole Hardman for 11 bucks running around on 81% of dropbacks. Mostly from the slot this year, led the team in targets last week, which was a clear anomaly because Tyreek Hill was just, you know, they sold out to stop Tyreek, but he's the clear wide receiver too. Now there's a huge drop off because really they have two wide receiver ones and there's Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. And so that's always the main preferred, but it looks like Hardman is getting his chance this season. We know this guy is a burner. We know he can rip off a massive touchdown play. He's 11 bucks, right? So like you can do a lot with that. So I got him. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, Hardman's one of the top guys for me. It's you know, we don't get as many mispriced guys this week like we did in week one at the bottom here, but Hardman's up there for me. Darnell Mooney is pretty cheap. And if you go the Justin Fields route, that provides a very cheap stacking option. LaVisca, we talked about, who's had the craziest stat line last week where he had a rushing attempt and 7 targets and finished with -3 yards, which I don't know if you'll ever see ever again. But again, for $13 to get 7 targets is pretty hard to find. And then I guess Henry Ruggs, if he's got a deep role, 5+ targets a game at $12, he's another guy that I circled. But I do agree. I think Hardman's definitely the best value play, especially in a huge game total. But those other guys do provide salary savings as well.
Yep. All right. My next guy, and I love this guy actually, because I don't think he's going to get much play this week. And he pairs beautifully with my man, Lamar, right? Is Marquise Brown, right? So he's electric. We know that he's got the speed, But, you know, he's always disappointed off and on big games and then just never hasn't had the consistency. So far, he's had 6 catches and a TD each week. So now it's facing a Detroit secondary that is bad. First off, they lost their top cornerback, Jeff Okuda, and they lost a backup. So this is a depleted, terrible secondary. They're on my sheet of paper that I have that I always keep by my desk right here, proving it, showing you. They're the defenses I want to attack. So that is where I'll be going. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, Hollywood's so interesting because the team doesn't pass a lot, right? But his target share is crazy. Like, I think it was 40% in week 2. And a lot of people don't really consider Marquise Brown as a consistent option, but he's had a touchdown or 80 or more yards in like 10 straight games. Eight touchdowns in his last 8 games. Like, this guy, when he's on the field and playing, he has a rapport with Jackson. And even if the team is not throwing a lot, most of the targets are going his way. So I agree with you. And especially if you're playing Lamar, he seems like the best stacking option. And he doesn't pop up as like a value by any means, but again, the upside, the floor, and the pairing with Lamar is there. So I like that call.
And he's just in that nice little $19 price range. All right. So now some of the higher priced guys, because usually you're going to have one of these guys or have a bunch of them in large field stuff. The guys I wrote down are Tyreek Hill, obviously, a bounce back spot, certainly in the cards here this week. DK Metcalf for 29. Seems a little expensive. Tyler Lockett is now priced up. So maybe we should talk about each of those guys. But Metcalf is going to be supposedly getting the Patterson treatment, and he's 31 years old, so I don't really put too much weight into that. So that big game is coming. It's been Lockett so far, but and it may be Lockett again, but you know, I want to play Metcalf because I know that this guy's a beast. So those three: Metcalf, Hill, Lockett.
Cool. Yeah, I had definitely Lockett and Metcalf together. Tyreek is up there for me. I guess Cooper Kupp, if he's going to continue to get all these targets and have a rapport with Stafford, he's up there. All the receivers from that game, actually. Kupp, Woods, Van Jefferson, even if you need a cheap option. DeAndre Hopkins, obviously, is if he plays. The other one that's really interesting to me that I don't think a lot of people will play, especially since Derrick Henry should be pretty popular, and because this guy hasn't done that much in the first 2 weeks, and that's A.J. Brown. You know, he even admitted last week he played a poor game, and his target volume is still there, and a big game is coming. So for me, A.J. Brown's the guy, especially for tournaments, that I think if you're paying up, no one's really going to pay him, because also no one's really interested in stacking that game. No one's interested in playing Tannehill, so you don't get that extra ownership boost because of the game stack potential. So for me, A.J. Brown is, I think, the best unpopular play in that price range.
Well, and we've seen it back-to-back weeks now. We saw it with Tyler Lockett. We saw it with Cooper Kupp. You beat this team over the middle. They are susceptible to that. And, you know, these guys ripped off massive, massive plays and touchdowns. So A.J. Brown would certainly be that guy. I would take him over Julio this week. So I like that call. Where else? Terry McLaurin, maybe. Against in our Josh Allen stacks. I got an interesting one, actually, except he's a little bit potentially banged up. I don't know how true it is. It's the hip, which bothered him all last year. But Kenny Golladay has had he did get 8 targets, but he was visibly giving it to Jason Garrett last week. And, you know, maybe the squeaky wheel gets the oil. I talked about how we like Daniel Jones. People are going to play Shepard for sure. Golladay will get some play, but I mean, he's just too cheap. And I think you got to, this is kind of a tough one, right? Because Saquon's we're going to have to talk about too, and they have Shepard. But Golladay, I just know what kind of upside this guy should have if he's healthy.
Yeah, $16, right? Like that's pretty cheap. And if you go the Daniel Jones route, it makes a ton of sense, because I think Golladay, even though Shepard has done well the first 2 weeks, Golladay is that high value target guy down the field and in the red zone. So I like that call a lot. The other guy that I haven't mentioned that we neither one of us mentioned is Justin Jefferson, who hasn't had a big game yet either. But if they're throwing more than we expect and in a 55-point total game, Justin Jefferson is another guy that could lead the slate in scoring, and he won't go nearly as popular as he should be.
I think we mentioned Cortland Sutton last week. And, you know, that's what we talked about too. Like, everyone's talking about these other receivers, but Cortland is, you know, the proven number one, the guy. And he got 12 targets, 159 yards, didn't get in the end zone, but just shows you that there's plenty of upside if he does get in the end zone. So I think, you know, he's gotten a price hike, and so he'll probably won't get much love this week, but you know, any of these guys that can go off for upside, I'm looking at. Anyone else for stand out to you?
No, I think we pretty much hit it all, right? So Godwin and Mike Williams are the biggest values. I think Terry McLaurin's a little bit of a value too. Those cheaper guys we mentioned, and then all of the high priced receivers in those game stacks, the quarterbacks we like, I think are all in play. And those are probably, I would categorize as the best overall plays this week at receiver.
Yep. And I just want to give one last warning that, like, it's possible that Mike Evans could be the better play between Godwin and, yep, and Evans. They're the same price. I just don't know. The projections like Godwin, if everyone keeps speaking Godwin, like we kind of started out today, Evans may go a little under the radar, and may very well end up with the better matchup if he's not getting the Ramsey treatment. So we'll see. All right, running backs. Oh, this is where it gets kind of gross this week. So I'll just go right off the bat. I'm just going to list the three values that are standing out. And this is from a projection standpoint. And some things that I look at, and it's Mike Davis for 15. So that's gross already, because we're now seeing Cordarrelle Patterson rip into his snap share, rip into his touchdowns, rip into his catches. So, you know, he got 67% of the snaps, ran 28 routes, 16 touches, versus Patterson, who got 37% of the snaps, ran 15 and 12 touches. Patterson got the touchdowns. Patterson's clearly on the upswing. Davis is on the downswing. There was a report today that said it could be a 60-40 split going forward. In the Falcons backfield. So that's all concerning. He's 15 bucks. He's cheap. It's a good game environment. Giants 27th in DVOA. Overall, 23rd versus the run. So, Mike Davis could have a good game there. So, I have that one down. And then I have Najee Harris written down, which I'll touch on in a minute, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire written down. These are $15, $19, and $16 plays. All stand out as good value. All have warts to talk about. So, after my Mike Davis spiel, what were your thoughts with him?
Yep, I had those guys and Antonio Gibson. So Najee Harris, Antonio Gibson, CEH, Mike Davis as my values according to projections. And yeah, they all have their warts. It's kind of tough. To me, what I'm hoping for is, so Dalvin Cook hasn't practiced all week. If he's out, Alexander Mattison, who's gotten like 70% of the workload when he's gotten a start in the last 2 years, he's only $14. So I'm praying that Cook is out and the clear value becomes Madison. And then we can play him, who's going to get way more snaps and more efficiency probably than these other guys in better game environments. So if Cook does play, then we're forced to play some of those other guys. I guess to me, I would rank them Najee, Gibson, CEH, Davis, but it's all tough. It's all tough down there. And it's not like the last couple of weeks where we've had very easy plays to make a running back.
Yep. So let's talk about Najee's wart. So he did get a price decrease to 19. He had 10 rushes last week for 38 yards. Wasn't, you know, the offense looked anemic, was bad. They had bad offensive line. He did have 5 catches for 43 yards and a touchdown where he ripped off to break my heart early in the slate. Cincy D has been okay. 7th overall in DVOA, 15th versus the run. And they faced some good runners. They faced Dalvin and David Montgomery and company. So I just like if Harris is going to be like so popular each and every week because of the snap share and you know that it's clearly his backfield, I just think he's going to be so inefficient that I just keep wanting to fade this guy. So I'll be looking to fade. I'll probably, you know, will end up playing him in my main lineup. I don't know yet, but unless I figure out something nice, Madison would be a nice boost. Like you said, I would love to put him in over that. Although Madison has screwed me through the years when he's been in this spot. But you know, it should be a, you know, Zimmer loves the run and you know, Madison is a good back. So it's a good backup back to step into a nice role. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I've been saying this for years. They did this. I mean, all last season, I was just preaching because everyone wanted to play Helaire. I was just like, Chiefs are a passing offense. Like they get down into the red zone and what do? They just keep passing and they're efficient. And so they score. So it just screws them. Now he hasn't even looked good. He's averaging 59.5 yards per game. Over his career so far, he's got only five career touchdowns. He's 3.3 yards per carry this season. He's one of the worst in the league so far this season for yards after contact. He's had an ankle issue in preseason, right? That maybe this is some of the cause for concern, but he just doesn't look very good out there and they just don't really need him. So yes, he's cheap, but they're going to like keep saying like, they're just like baiting you to play this guy, right?
Right, it's just like how cheap can they, like if they're just gonna make him $10 next week and we're still gonna be having the same conversation, it's really tough. It's I mean, because Gibson, CEH, Davis, right, all these guys are either in some sort of timeshare or inefficient, and Najee too. The one thing about Najee, right, like it's hard for me to fade volume, and even if it's inefficient volume, that gives you a really high floor. And the fact that he's getting red zone work, he has 6 red zone opportunities this year and hasn't scored a touchdown inside the red zone, so that possibility is still there that he hasn't realized yet. And so for me, he's the best option of the group, but I guess, so the big question is, right, if you're not playing these guys or you're not comfortable playing these guys, how do you get up to Henry, Kamara, those types of guys?
Yeah. So I think I would choose Henry over Kamara. You do it with like Mecole Hardman, you do it with like potentially playing Galladay. You know, you do it with potentially the quarterback savings if you play Daniel Jones. But Henry would be my guy. So Indianapolis is 29th DVOA versus the run so far. Henry's actually getting catches this season, you know, 9 catches through 2 games. He leads the league in rushing yards. Yeah, it's two weeks and he had a monster game last week. So that happens. But this should be a great game script for him, you know, and a game that they should be able to control. So, I mean, he's just a beast, right? He just looks unstoppable out there. So I like him. The next guy I have written down is Saquon for 24. I know he's cheaper relatively on FanDuel and people are going to reach the plan there, but I think we're there. I think it's coming for him to the upside, right? So basically, everyone talked about, like, in the Twitter, it was very popular last week, early, like, because they had the early game that, you know, people were over projecting Saquon, you know, but, and that he was going to see even less work than he did the first week, but that didn't happen. I mean, he outtouched Booker 15-3, but he was on the field for 84% of the snaps, 72% route rate on passing plays. He now gets 10 days of rest. So basically his snap rate went from 48% of the snaps to 84%. So he basically looks back to me, as the guy. And I think that he should be, going forward, especially with that 10 day rest. So I kind of want to be early on him, and $24 is certainly kind of that range, which makes him very playable. What are your thoughts with Saquon?
Yeah, I think you hit it all perfectly, right? Like we weren't sure how his early season workload would go. And then he surprised everyone with that 85% snap rate on the Thursday night game. So, and I agree, like this is the spot to get ahead of him, because if he plays that much again, I guess Yahoo's pricing does have some quirks. So it could go either way. But you would think that if he plays as many snaps as he did last week, that this will be the lowest we'll get Saquon for the rest of the year, especially on FanDuel. Like, I think he's 6K over there. So, yeah, I agree. You get a full workload running back. You've already targeted this game as a great game environment for fantasy purposes. So Saquon makes sense too at $24, especially when, I mean, these other guys were not thrilled to play. You could play a few, you could just pay up a few more bucks if you could find it to get someone who's going to play 80, 90% of the snaps in a great game environment. To me, that's, even though he hasn't performed just yet, to me, that's probably a little bit of a safer option than playing some of those other guys we've already talked about.
And he's a freak talent. So there's just issues that with too. His, the there's issues with his offensive line and all of that stuff and the efficiency of the Giants offense. And, you know, Danny Dimes turning the ball over. But, you know, he is the PFF second overall graded passer. So we have to put our faith in this man this week. And I think the Giants will certainly do well in this match. It's really all about matchup, right, against the Falcons. I mean, this defense, I would play head chopper if he was available in this in this pool this week against that defense. So I'm ready for Saquon. Talk to me about Kamara a little bit. Seems like you like him.
Yeah, I think he hasn't performed as well as obviously everyone would expect. But to me, they've faced two of the absolute weirdest game scripts possible so far, where the Saints blew out the Packers in week one. They got blown out by the Panthers and barely touched the ball in week two. But his participation data, his metrics are fine, right? He's on the field a ton, running routes. The majority of the targets and rushing attempts in that backfield are going to Kamara. So if they can have just a normal game for once, Kamara is going to go back to being Kamara. And $31 is a little too cheap. And so I think, kind of like Barkley, I'd rather get ahead of it than behind. So I like Kamara this week. And then the other guys I like for tournaments are Austin Eckler in that game environment. He's $29. And then Joe Mixon and Chris Carson, two workhorses that should go overlooked as people either pay higher or lower. So those three guys, in addition to Kamara, I think are probably my favorite tournament plays.
Yeah, I almost forgot about Eckler. He got some goal line carries last week, so that was really nice to see. So he's just so uber talented in every position. Like, if he's going to get goal line work, then we really have no reason not to play this guy. His price is a little high this week, but then ownership should certainly be down because of that. But because
that was the knock on him, right? Like, he didn't get goal line work, and then we were kind of concerned after week one because he had zero targets, but he was back getting targets last week and still getting goal line work, which is all you can ask for.
Yep. I'm there. All right. Anyone else here that I'm missing? So Kenyon Drake, revenge. Can I interest you in $14?
If they just stop hammering the ball with Peyton Barber, I'd be much more interested. But again, $14, right? Like, it's not, his role isn't that much different than CEH down there, right? So, and it's not that he's going to get work in the passing game. I think there are definitely worse options.
Yeah, they got to stop using Peyton Barber. It's really aggravating. Chase Edmonds, $20 seems okay. I do like your call with Gibson. I didn't really tear into him much this week, but certainly I love the talent and I like that game I mentioned, Washington Buffalo. So I got to make sure I get some of him.
Are we just striking the Rojo recommendation from the record last week?
We're not even talking about that. So we did say it was a GPP, you know, it was.
That's how you cop out of everything, right? If you just say it's GPP only, you're absolved of any blame if he doesn't do well.
Touting 101. But and we also said if Arians is telling the truth, that he's not, but I don't even know if he was telling the truth. He screwed up on that pass block so badly that he's done. He has no chance. So we have to play Leonard Fournette now. That was a great segue actually to Leonard Fournette, because Fournette can pass block. Fournette can catch passes and he can run. He's maybe not the most efficient, but high scoring offense, you know, missing one of their receivers, Antonio Brown this week, one of their key receivers. This could be a Lenny week, you know, while everyone keeps talking about Brady setting pass records and Brady to Gronk, two touchdowns in each of the first two games. But this could be the week where we want the running back and the writing is on the wall with who the running back is now.
I'll say that I'll give you two stats. So 9 passing touchdowns to 0 rushing touchdowns so far this year for Tampa Bay. That's not going to hold up. So when those rushing touchdowns do get some positive regression or just some regression, then Leonard Fournette's going to be the guy because he has all 5 of the goal line opportunities for this Tampa Bay team. So $17 is pretty interesting and from a pivot away from that passing attack.
Writing him down. I really like him, and I'm upset at myself for not having him written down coming into the show, but I really like him, and I might, you know, I almost, you know, I talk about I had a bad week because I thought I was sharp fading Najee for Mixon and fading Cooper to get up to Keenan Allen. I almost went Rojo in my main lineup for cash and everywhere. I was like, I was almost convinced myself, man, luck, like it didn't matter. I would have lost this. Actually, I would have lost 100% instead of 50%. But I'm glad I didn't do that. So that would have been really tilting. But this week I'm going back to Leonard Fournette. I'm taking someone in this backfield, and maybe it's stupid. And we're going to be saying by the end of the season that this is just a passing offense. This is a passing offense, just like the Chiefs are. But I think there's going to be weeks where their running backs get theirs. And I think Leonard Fournette is the guy. So unfortunately, rest in peace to Ronald Jones. All right. And watch Jones, like,
have watch him go off now. This week, right?
Yeah. And, tight ends. This seems kind of, there's not a ton of plays that I like here. Written down for the best values coming in here, I had Mark Andrews at number one. And again, there's warts here. So Mark Andrews, I wrote down, I like Hollywood Brown better as a pairing. To me, Mark Andrews looks stiff as a board out there. That's just like my eye test. I know he's from the usage, all the numbers are there. He's sixth in route runs for tight ends. He should be the wide receiver one. He hasn't been so far. So I don't know, but you know, I do want to pair someone with Lamar. Initially I was looking at Andrews, but then I kind of came around to Hollywood Brown, but certainly he's not out of question for me for making my main lineup at this point, but I'll probably end up with Kelsey. But Mark Andrews, I've written down. I have Tyler Higbee written down as a bounce back candidate. He's cheap. He's $16. He got 100% of snaps. Unfortunately, we don't get fantasy points for snaps, but they're a good indication of what to come. And then I have Gerald Everett. So those are like the cheapies that I have written down. What are your thoughts with those three guys?
This position is kind of gross too at the bottom, right? So Kelsey's up there for me. I like Andrews. I think he's in, if you're playing in that middle range, he's the guy I would target. I had Austin Hooper written down, and I'm not thrilled about it, but Jarvis Landry is out. Odell Beckham is returning this week, but Hooper, he's run 33 routes so far. He's caught all 8 of his targets. It's not a sexy play by any means, but he stands out from a projection standpoint if you have to punt the position. There are a couple other guys down there. I'm not super thrilled about it. I think I would try to find a way to pay up if I could.
Yeah, it doesn't seem the week, but there are some plays. So first off is what's the injury here? I was looking at Noah Fant. Limited practice on Thursday, questionable against the Jets. You know, there's like this price range here. There's certainly some guys we can go to. The bottom end, you said Hooper, I was scared to mention, but I did consider mentioning him. So I'm glad you took the bait there when I held off. But Jared Cook at 16 certainly could, in that game environment, could be good. That 16 range has a few plays. Like, wouldn't shock me if any of these guys have big weeks, like Tyler Higbee, Jared Cook, and then up in 19, there's Kyle Pitts in that game, which we like. Atlanta, New York Giants. Pitts certainly looked like a wide receiver one last week. He didn't have a massive game, tough matchup for sure against Tampa Bay, but did have 6 targets, 5 receptions, 73 yards. You just watch a game with him and you just can see the potential, right? So everybody sees the potential. It's going to happen at some point. You know, he's there with Mark Andrews in that 19 range. Now we get into like the plays where I actually like, and there's 3 of them. The top is Travis Kelce, $33, 8th in receiving yards so far against everybody, you know, wide receivers, tight ends, second in touchdowns against all tight ends and wide receivers. This is a wide receiver one. It's stupid. I even have to talk about him. He's just an obvious wide tight end number one. So he's the top guy for me in that game environment for sure. Then I love TJ Hockenson because he is a legit wide receiver one. And then I could get behind an overpriced, but is he overpriced? Darren Waller, bounce back spot this week. You know, basically I'm looking at as Travis Kelce, TJ Hockenson, and Darren Waller are all legit wide receiver ones this season.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, and Kelce's a little bit cheaper than he was in week one. Waller got the price increase from last week, and I think everyone's down on him because he was pretty popular last week and he just didn't get 19 targets like he did in week one, but he's a guy that's going to get consistent targets in this offense. So I think Waller's a great play. Hockenson's probably the best pivot of that range. I don't know how many people are going to play him. I'm just trying to think because to me, it seems like there's not a ton of value at the bottom. If you're not paying up for Kelce / Waller, then I think the value range is that 16 to 19 range you talked about with Cook, Higbee, Kyle Pitts, Mark Andrews. Like that's the sweet spot, I think, for tight end this week. And that leaves Hockenson in the middle in no man's land. So for me, for tournaments, Hockenson's probably the best overall play because his usage is incredible, right? There's no true number one receiver. There's no true period receiver there. And Goff is targeting him nonstop. So Hockenson's probably the best overall tournament play. And to me, the big decision for your main lineups is whether or not you can get up to Kelce or stick in that sweet spot range.
And he's a bring back for our Lamar. So that's going to pump his ownership up this week, probably at least in the main GPP, but he's tied for first in catches with 16 this season. He's tied for 11th in targets with 19. He's got 163 yards, 2 TDs. He is the go-to guy. Goff just locks in on him. He also has a decent matchup by PFF grades. So this is a good spot for him. So he's probably like my GPP pivot. Like Kelce's probably my main lineup guy. And then for the baller, I'll probably have a pool, you know, I'll open it up as we go, but it's right now it looks like Higbee, Andrews, Everett, Pitts, and Waller. And then I don't know, do you have any like, and you, I got to write down Hooper because you said I'm not me, so I can blame you and play him.
As long as you take the Rojo blame from last week, I'll take the Hooper blame this week.
Yeah, you did that. So I mentioned him. You were like, I was scared to mention him. Yeah.
So we're 0 for 1 in those plays so far. So buyer beware on Hooper this week.
You were super sharp. So you were like smart enough not to mention him. Logan Thomas, 100% of the snaps. Correlates with Josh Allen. No one's going to pay $20 for him. He's going to be extremely low owned, but certainly I can get behind him. I don't know who else I'm missing here.
It's rough, man. There's not much else that I'm excited. Like maybe Jack Doyle, like that range, but nothing to me. I'm trying to get up to $16 or higher if I can.
Yep. Did you just say Jack Doyle?
I said Jack Doyle. I didn't feel great about it, but I said Jack Doyle.
Everybody, remember that next week. all right. So that's a wrap. Who's your favorite stack? So one lineup, this is what we've been doing. One lineup, $1 million baller. Got to get a little different. You're in the bathroom. You're making a lineup on your phone because that's where I do my best work, by the way, is in the bathroom. Who are you choosing?
For me, it's going to be Mahomes with Kelce and Hardman. And then I'll run it back with probably Mike Williams, which seems kind of chalky, but I think, you know, those four in one lineup on Yahoo won't as a four man pairing won't be that popular. So for my one single baller lineup, that's where I'd go with. What about you?
Yeah, since I'm doing 150, I'm not even going to mention that. I'm just going to let you have that one. And I'm going to take one I actually like. for me that I love actually, and it's going to be Chalky, it's going to be Lamar, and it's going to be Hollywood, and it's going to be coming back with Hockenson. That's my favorite stack. And if I have to get, I'll take a quick peek here. If I had to do one, I don't think Justin Herbert's going to get a lot of love this week. So I would go, did you just say that? You said Mike Williams, the other side. Yeah. Yep. So I'll take the other side and I'll say Justin Herbert with Mike Williams like you. And I'll say Tyreek instead of Kelce, because Kelce's going to get a massive amount of ownership because he's the clear best tight end play. So that would be the way that I play that. So we're both going to that game, and it has the highest total. All right. Any last thoughts or words?
Let's bounce back this week. I think, again, just to reiterate what we said at the top, like we've had a good handle on what we expect to happen. And that always gives me the most confidence. And I think we have a pretty good grasp this week on where the sweet spot ranges are, which I think is the most important on Yahoo, right? If you can figure out where the misprices are and where the pricing leads you to build your lineups, that's going to put you in the most successful spot, and then just build high upside lineups around that. So, Chris, I'm confident that we can do that again this week, and I'm excited to recap next week with the winning week.
Yeah, definitely. So I'll give my 2 cent Yahoo spiel. So like that is the way to play Yahoo. Like you don't have to get too crazy. There's always good plays, and you can just differentiate just enough. You can take some of these like popular builds and you can tweak them just a little bit, and that can get it done in a tournament. The field is a little bit softer than DK. The pricing is a little bit softer than like a site like DraftKings. So you can just, with just identifying who some of these best value plays and who's going to get a lot of this ownership, like we've been doing, talking about some of our favorite plays and also some of our favorite pivots, can be just enough of what you need to take down a tournament. So yeah, I'm excited as well. I'm looking forward to a big bounce back week this week. Good luck. Let's get it. All right. This has been the RGDFS Tournament Takes podcast, and we'll catch you next week.